There is no disputing the fact that America is in a tailspin morally, socially, and certainly economically. The nation has been led by unrighteous, ungodly leaders who have done their best to destroy the foundations of the Judeo-Christian heritage that made America great. Can God-fearing, blood-bought believers in Jesus Christ stop this slide and reverse course? If so, where do we start? Can we effectively rebuild the walls of America and restore this nation to a place of honoring God and living righteously? If it will be done, it will take boldness, courage, and willingness for Christians to confront without apology the moral bankruptcy that is leading millions into ruin and damnation. Stay tuned, friends, for a no-holds-barred conversation with noted cultural commentator and radio host Bradley Dean next on the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Welcome, listeners. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and of course, listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. My guest today is Bradley Dean. He is the founder of You Can Run, But You Cannot Hide International and the Sons of Liberty, a ministry with a mission to reshape America by redirecting the current and future generations both morally and spiritually through education, media, and the Judeo-Christian values found in our U.S. Constitution. He is host of the live nationally syndicated radio broadcast, The Sons of Liberty, a weekly columnist for WorldNet Daily and over 40 other columns nationwide, and drummer of the band Junkyard Prophet. Welcome to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show, Bradley.
Thank you for having me, my friend. I appreciate it.
It's an honor for me to speak with you. Bradley, you are a man of passionate convictions and a man on a mission. I'm wondering if you'd share a little bit about your background. Who is Bradley Dean and what events led you to take up the challenge of reclaiming America?
I just kept asking for the heart of David. Because what I see in the modern church is not what I see in Scripture.
Yeah.
I want to know the God of David, a man after God's own heart. And I noticed over time, he began to show me who I wasn't, to show me who he was. And that was the cross of Jesus Christ, which I didn't see preached in this country whatsoever.
Yeah.
And those that preach the cross of Christ understand the power of God unto salvation. And there's very far and few between that actually understand the anointing as well, which is found in Isaiah 10:27. He began to break me down to show me who he was, and I remember he took everything away. And in the process of that, he began to add things to my life to show me what he called me to do and what my desires were for example, playing the drums, where all of a sudden it went to his people. It was servitude rather than being served by the world. And so what happened is I started to play drums, and before I knew it, I was called, literally pulled by a Christian band to jump into the band with them, and before we knew it, we were on a national level. In the process, I was also called upon to do columns And in the process, I was also called to do radio, which, by the way, 20 years later, I'm doing all three of those things still. But the difference is there's been quite a the fruit has been found in the process, John 15 and the Christ that's been in me, not only on a nationwide basis, but also a national basis and international basis. And to say that, we've also done over 360 public high schools, and for the very purpose that we wanted to actually be a part of the answer, not a part of the problem, by reaching into those that were being subjected to everything and protected from nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know how many colleges I've done. I don't know how many tea parties I've done. I know that we're broadcasting to 50 affiliates in the United States of America and, again, to 53 other countries, as well as 40 columns a week. So the Lord has given me an opportunity to not only speak to the United States of America on a weekly basis, but also to 53 countries. So it will show you what God will do with a man that is completely yielded to him. And I got to tell you, my friend, I am completely sold out in the purpose of what he wants me to be. And it's one thing, and I appreciate the cloud of witnesses, it's one thing to talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it's another thing to understand that he's faithful unto 1,000 generations.
Yes.
And what he did for that generation, he promises to do for us. And he has done just exactly that as long as I'm yielded to him. And let me bring about what Martin Luther said, the great reformer back in the 1500s. He said, until a man becomes nothing, God can create nothing out of him. And that has been the process over the last 20 years in my particular situation.
Amen. Yes. Quite clearly, God's hand has been on you, Bradley, and bringing you through those things and providing these platforms for you to speak out on, and I'd like to pursue that. You mentioned high schools and college campuses. I believe that's you can run, but you cannot hide international ministry that goes to high schools and college campuses. And I've listened to some of your presentations, and it is clearly a hard-hitting presentation. And I think it's fair to say, for the most part, young people that you're speaking to, they've never heard that information before, have they?
No, they haven't. They've see, what's interesting is I did a high school in Pensacola, Florida, and there's five churches around the particular school that we did there. And what's happening is the young people are trying to figure out why there's churches around the school. They're being taught about the Lord, that they're, you know, they were fearfully and wonderfully created by their Creator, of course. And then they go into a public school, and they're being indoctrinated and told that they came from monkeys.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out why their pastors love them so much, and their parents love them so much, yet they're the ones responsible for actually dropping them off at the school gate to be indoctrinated illegally by the federal government 5 days a week, 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
And really what it comes to, Mike, more than anything, is the fact that they're sick of the lip service. They want to see love in action. And that's exactly what Jesus demonstrated on the cross concerning who we are through the sacrifice concerning our redemption and reconciliation back unto the Father.
Yeah.
It was all through a demonstration. And really, when we do public schools, I want to show them how much I love them by what I do, 1 John 3:18. I don't want to offer lip service. And I'll tell you what, they respond in a major way. They really do.
Yeah. And when you talk about loving them, just so our listeners are clear, you're talking about sharing the truth with them, how things really are. And that is a countercultural message. I'm wondering if you'd tell us about some of the topics that you cover to give our listeners an idea of what you're doing.
Okay, I can do that. Interestingly enough, when we go into a public school, we will literally bring a concert to them.
Yeah.
And in the process, it's all Christian. There's no compromise whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Be holy has meaning in this ministry.
Yeah.
And of course, it's a process of the Holy Ghost, Titus 1:16.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is we walk as close as we possibly can because of our love for Christ,
mm-hmm.
as to respond to what he did for us on the cross. We live unto him who died for us. Once we get done playing the music, what we do is we have the respect of the students. There can be up to 1,800 students in each assembly, all the way down to 300 in most cases. And what will happen is I'll get off the stage, and the first thing I'll do is I'll ask them, so how many of you guys in this room actually know your founding documents from the Declaration of Independence to the United States Constitution to the Bill of Rights? And they'll laugh at me. And I'll say to them, wait a second, so you're laughing at me. Why are you laughing at me? If you don't know your rights that God has bestowed upon you, read the Declaration of Independence, you don't have any rights. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing I'll ask him, Mike, is I'll say, so let me ask you a question, guys, girls. How many in this room actually had grandpas, grandmas, dads, moms, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, cousins, neighbors serve in foreign wars upholding the Constitution mm-hmm. of the United States, so help me God, that you don't even know? Mm-hmm. And how many of them actually fought, bled, and died to ratify that Constitution to bestow upon you that pearl called freedom, mm-hmm. and you don't even know what they fought, bled, and died for?
Yeah.
Over the next 2.5 hours, I have their undivided attention, and I talk of a plethora of topics.
Yeah.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll, the indoctrination in public schools, how they're being lied to, and then I lay the premise. So what I do is I tear it down, mm-hmm. and then I build it back up.
Yeah.
In essence, it's telling them, if you don't know where you came from, how do you know where you're going?
Right.
After I get done talking about the plethora of topics, at the very end, I'll tell them, did you know that during World War I, there was 116,516 men that fought, bled, and died to ratify the Constitution that you don't even know, and you thought it was funny that you didn't know it?
Mm.
I'll take them to World War II. I'll say, did you know that in World War II, they said that there was not a household in America that did not feel lost, guys?
Mm.
As a matter of fact, there was 405,399 men and women that fought, bled, and died to ratify the Constitution that you don't even know. Furthermore, you thought it was funny.
Mm.
And then in Korea, I'll tell them, my mom told me my dad was there, and there was 36,516 men that fought, bled, and died there as well.
Mm.
And my dad was there picking up body parts. My grandpa was in World War I. My uncles were in World War II. My dad was in Korea. And my cousin got killed in Vietnam, where there was 58,121 men that fought, bled, and died ratifying the Constitution. And you don't even know what they fought, bled, and died for. After I do that, I'll begin to share with them some of the interactions that I've had with veterans.
Yeah.
And then what I'll do is, after I do that, I'll tell them, do you realize that if I was to take you to a veterans memorial, let's go to Arlington Cemetery.
Mm.
Then I ask them the question after I share the stories. So what would you think of me if I took a can of black spray paint and I began to spray paint the headstones and the Christian crosses over the heads of our fallen?
Mm.
What would you think if I spray painted and I desecrated their memory?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, guys, don't even worry about this. Just go ahead and party away everything they fought, bled, and died for. Without fail, Mike, one of the students will say something like, I'll tear your head off if you were to do something like that.
Wow.
And then they begin to understand that freedom wasn't given unto them to do what they want to do. Freedom was given unto them to do what they ought to do.
Yes.
And then towards the end of the assembly, I'll share with them why I'm in their public school, because one of the students will say, well, why are you doing what you're doing now? Because I want to tell you the greatest veteran, his name is Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross of Calvary for our lawlessness before him, 1 John 3:4.
Yeah.
And it was the grace and the favor of God and his mercy that he bestowed his son in sacrifice of me.
Mm.
He took all of the sin, all of our iniquity upon himself, and he threw it upon his son to redeem me back unto himself. And then I'll say to him, how couldn't I live for him who died for me?
Yes.
And what's interesting is I don't need to beat him over the top of the head. That's all I have to do is share with them the sacrifice on their behalf, and the first thing they want to do is stand up and read all of their founding documents, all the way from the Bible, first and foremost, to the Constitution and the founding documents. And it was rightly said by George Washington, religion and morality are the essential pillars of civil society. And everybody in this country knew that for the most part, all the way up until 1962, because it was mandatory to know George Washington's farewell address.
Yes. Yeah. So the reception, it sounds to me like the reception for the most part has been very good. Student, you've awakened students to this privilege of freedom and a responsibility to preserve it. And I imagine you've got lots of very encouraging stories of students coming up to you after the presentation and talking, and I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Bradley, that you have, as a part of the presentation, you actually have what we could call an open mic, where you allow students to ask questions?
Yes, we do, and that's usually, in a public school, the question is always, it always has been, so what changed you? And then once they do that in an open forum, I can just preach.
Yeah.
And in colleges, they usually want to fight and argue because at that point, you know, they know more than everybody else does.
Right, yeah.
But the fact of the matter is I have to deal with them really quick. And I deal with college students a lot different than I deal with public high school students.
Mm-hmm.
Because in public school, there's still hope for those students. When you get to the colleges, they have been so dummied down, you are literally dealing with nothing less than little communists.
Yeah.
And that has been my experience almost every given time in a college.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a commentary all of its own.
Correct.
Have you ever been kicked out of a school for what you were talking about?
I did a high school assembly in Kabul, Missouri, highest crystal methane rate in the country. And it was also the highest teen pregnancy rate in the country. When we did that particular high school, I showed a picture of Samuel Armus, the famous picture of the baby who had spinal bifida, where his mother and father wanted to open the womb and fix his spine. And if you remember rightly, little Samuel actually grabbed the doctor's finger.
Mm-hmm.
I was advocating life in that public school. There were 700 students up on the wall right in front of me on the bleachers.
Yeah.
The principal didn't like the fact that I was advocating life. Now, keep in mind, it was the principal that didn't like the fact that I was advocating life. And as I did that, all of a sudden, this little short guy walks out and tells 700 students that if this picture of this little baby grabbing the doctor's finger offends anybody, you can leave.
Oh my.
One teacher, one student, which we believe was the teacher's daughter, got up and walked out.
Mm-hmm.
He walks back out. I said, fair enough. I said, it's interesting how when we begin to advocate life, how some people don't like that.
Yeah.
About 2 minutes later, the principal came back out into the setting in front of the students, 698, along with the teacher faculty. He lied to the students, and he said, there's an emergency at the school. Now, this is the voice, Mike, that the state-controlled narrative does not want you to hear, but I want you to listen carefully.
Mm-hmm.
The students, along with the teachers, stood up and gave the truth and a willingness to stand up and fight for the truth. They gave us a standing ovation. This is all on film. It's being played on national television right now through a documentary series called My War.
Yeah.
What's interesting about that is the students came up, along with the teachers, it's all on film, you can actually watch them standing up, coming down, filing around me, and saying after the standing ovation, they were apologizing for their principal, and this was the next question that was asked to me. Bradley, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah,
well, the students asking me, this is the issue that I take, and I'll tell you what, this really gets my dander up. 86% of those people that are actually dropping their kids off at public school are Christians, patriots, and or conservatives mm-hmm. that are complaining about the federal government violating Article 10 of the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
They're the ones dropping them off at public school. Then when they go home, they hear the parents complaining about the school system and what the government is doing illegally.
Yeah.
So what I get to deal with is a whole lot of hypocrisy. And if that's not good enough, I get to hear from the churches throughout the United States saying you can't cross lines between church and state, which is only found in Article 52 of the USSR, Mike.
Yes.
Communism.
Right. Yes.
And
right.
We all know that that came from Roger Baldwin from the ACLU, who said that the end of the ACLU is communism. Well, I'm not going to ask the devil for permission to obey God, and I'm not going to ask criminals in this country if it's okay if I follow the rule of our constitutional republic, Article 4, Section 4.
Yeah.
I did another high school in Arkansas, Lincoln, Arkansas. I was doing the high school program, and during this time, I was about 20 minutes into the assembly program, and all of a sudden this little waddly guy starts coming down. This is all on film as well. He said, students, I need to talk to Bradley Dean, and of course all the students, they didn't like that. And I said, no, guys, we got to do this properly. I said, what is it that you need, sir? He said, can I go outside and have a little chat with you? He looked at the students. There's about 700 there as well. He said, I'll be right back. The principal comes out along with the superintendent because the principal didn't like the fact that she just got back from a Bible study, and she didn't like the fact that we were playing Christian music in a public school. I have every right world to play Christian music in a public school.
Yeah.
I said, sir, I don't know what you're doing here, but I said, if you're asking for a lawsuit, and I wasn't saying it, I wasn't being cocky about it, Mike, I wasn't being disrespectful, I just know that I have the law on our side, and I have several law firms that are there on any issue that we may have in a public setting. I said, are you asking for a lawsuit? He said, no, I'm not asking for a lawsuit. And in the process, we started to hear in unison 700 feet hitting the floor at the same time saying, let him speak.
Wow.
Let him speak. Let him speak. And it's interesting, these students, without fail, every single school, they know that they're being lied to.
Yeah.
They're just trying to figure out why they're being subjected to indoctrination through international baccalaureate, through No Child Left Behind, which is nothing more than communism, where nobody's better than the next guy, and they're shooting for the floor rather than the stars,
mm-hmm.
and then something called Common Core, which is yes. No Child Left Behind on steroids.
Yes. Yeah.
And so over and over and over again, see, that's why it's so important to stay out there, because the American people need to realize that the young people are rejecting what's being thrown on them.
Yeah.
But what we need to do is we need to lead by example, not just curse the darkness. We have to do that at a point as well.
Sure.
But we need to light a candle and lead the way.
Yeah.
And once we do that, guess what's going to happen? As we follow the Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:1, they're going to follow us.
Yes. Yeah, amen. I want to circle back to that topic of the church and its responsibility a little later, but for now I'd like to talk about your radio program, Bradley, Sons of Liberty Radio. Again, as we said earlier in the show, it's heard across the country. I appreciate it because you bring clarity to many of the deceptions that are being propagated by the American corporate media, and I call it a monopoly because it really is a monopoly. It's of the worst sort. But my question is this: is the American public, in your opinion, are they waking up to the fact that our nation is being led astray? That the media is purposely lying to them. That our political leaders are following the same script, and essentially our nation's being destroyed internally by those who hate it. Is it your sense that Americans are starting to understand this or not?
I think that there's a grassroots movement. As a matter of fact, I'm saying that in a nice way. I know as a fact, we are somewhere every month. And what I see across the country is people are wide awake. What they're looking for is they're looking for leadership.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. The church has a prime opportunity right now to prove the God of Israel, to prove the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
You know, the Chinese have a certain word. It's called crisis, Mike, and it has two definitions. One is danger, and the other one is opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see is what the Father did for our forefathers, and I'm talking about our Father in heaven in Jesus' name, the God of Israel, he established this country with less than 3% of the population, along with 13 colonies, 56 signers, and those bad boys, those bad boy preachers called the Black Robe Regiment,
yes.
that actually preceded them to establish what we have today.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 3% of the population was used to establish what we have today. Now less than 1.7% of the population, along with the lying media, is there to promulgate and proclaim the lie after lie after lie to inundate the good people that sit back and do nothing.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about that, Mike, is the American people have a 21% approval rating of what the state-controlled media is actually saying,
mm-hmm.
yet they say they don't believe it, yet they live it.
Yes.
And they're holding the truth in unrighteousness is really what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because as Edmund Burke rightly said, evil prevails because good men do nothing. Yeah, they're awake. Yes, they're, as a matter of fact, I can go to pretty much any gas station and have a conversation with somebody. They're all saying the same thing that we are,
mm-hmm.
for the most part, easy, hands down. But there's very far and few that were actually standing up and fighting the good fight that needs to be fought.
Yeah, yeah. I think I already know the answer to this. I want to hear you say it for our listeners' sake. The major portion of responsibility for the place that we find ourselves in today in America can be laid squarely at the feet of pastors and their churches who seem to be, and this is being too kind perhaps, apathetic to what they see happening. Isn't it true that if pastors would begin to preach the truth And I'm not talking about a return to pounding the pulpit and screaming and hollering. I'm simply talking about engaging their congregation in truthful preaching that addresses the moral issues of our day, that we would begin to see more believers standing up and getting in the game, so to speak. And so I guess my question is this, Bradley. Mm-hmm. Pastors have a responsibility to lead their flock in the truth. And you talked about a percentage, 1.7%. I'd say probably maybe 1% of pastors in America are actually doing their God-given job and role of preaching the gospel, number one, and telling the truth about what's going on. And am I misguided in that?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, the higher I go up concerning the hierarchy of the church, the more I understand why we are in trouble. And I'm not saying that with a half-truth. I'm not embellishing that fact. I am seeing this firsthand. We lost a general of God by the name of Dr. D. James Kennedy about 7 or 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I had spent some time with him right before he died, Coral Ridge Ministries out of Florida.
Yeah.
And he had told me, he goes, Bradley, he goes, at one point, you know, I had this meeting at my church. It was a worldwide meeting because he preached to the world seven days a week, and he still is, and he's been gone for 7 years.
Yeah.
God still bearing witness of his gifts. And interestingly enough, he said, you know, Bradley, goes, I knew there was something wrong. This individual came up to me. He was a pastor. And he said, he walked up to me and he said, your church is being protested. And Dr. G. James Kennedy said, well, what are they protesting? He said, well, they're protesting homosexual marriage. Well, that's an abomination in the sight of God. They should be protesting the church. Protestant has meaning.
Yeah.
And he looked at the pastor and he said, you mean your church isn't being protested? And it's interesting because the church in America doesn't understand its history whatsoever. And it's also interesting to note that D. James Kennedy was also the one that was responsible for pointing his finger at the camera and saying, this week, today, over 4,000 babies will be murdered in the womb because over 300,000 pulpits today will not preach out against the sin of murder.
Yes.
The greatest advocate to the homosexual agenda in this country, the greatest advocate to the abortion industry in this country today, no question about it, lays at the feet of the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
No question.
Yeah. And that is a serious indictment, but it's one that has biblical support. It has been that way, it seems, when a nation turns away from God. It does so as it is led by pastors who refuse to stand up and preach the gospel and direct people into moral living and in the truth. So I appreciate
that. Can I add
something
to that?
Absolutely. Yes, sure.
The Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, said, if you want to know why a man doesn't preach against sin, follow him home. And
yeah.
He's exactly right.
Isn't that
There's
the truth?
The reason they're not preaching out against sin, and if they're not preaching out against sin, it's because they themselves are guilty of it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a great quote. Well, I'm going to share an opinion here, Bradley, and please feel free to disagree with me if in fact you do. And this is, of course, listeners, regular listeners to Soaring Eagle Radio, they're accustomed to me just being very blunt and frank, so this won't surprise them in the least. But President Obama, if not one of the worst, if not the worst, he's certainly one of the worst presidents, one of the worst things that's ever happened to America, and that's my opinion. Now, listeners may think otherwise, but I'm of the opinion that no one else even comes close to the damage that he has done to this nation. I can't believe that he hasn't been impeached yet, honestly. And I guess my question is this, Bradley. What do you expect to see, besides more of the same, from President Obama in his last year of his presidency?
Well, let me go back to Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution. Presidents, those that represent we, the people of America, you need to first understand, we receive our unalienable rights. They're given unto us by our Creator. Think not they come not from the generosity of the state. They yes. come from the hand of God, said John F. Kennedy.
Yes.
Then once we receive our rights, we delegate authority to those that we entrust to represent we, the people. They derive their just powers from the consent of we, the people.
Yes.
The government in this country is we, the people.
Yes.
Read the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. That's how it starts off.
Mm-hmm.
If the American people don't have a grasp on the fact that we receive our rights from God, therein lies the problem right there, because they have an evolutionary view of government.
Yes.
Government does not have a right to violate law. Going back to Charles
right.
B. Montesquieu, one of the founders, along with John Locke and William Blackstone, he was the one that was responsible for saying liberty is the right to do what the law permits. And if you look at those that represent we, the people, I don't care if it's the president of the United States or if it's a local congressman or a rep, they uphold the Constitution with their hand on the Bible and their hand up in the air, swearing to God and man that they will uphold the laws against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, so help me God. Now, in saying all that, to lay the premise and the presupposition that God is, there's no question about it. Going to the next point, when you look at Article 2, Section 4, representatives, all the way from the president, all the way down, or all the way down, all the way up to the top, they can be impeached for the smallest of infractions,
yeah.
the smallest misdemeanor. If they even give us a half-truth, they can be impeached. If they do something not without congressional approval, they can be impeached. And by the way, not just impeached, but they can be indicted and charged as well for violating the law that they swore to uphold.
Yeah.
This administration, to say it is not criminal, is doing yourself a disservice.
Yes.
Because you're subjecting yourself to tyranny. And by the way, our forefathers, keep in mind, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, and John Adams said resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And we're either going to be ruled by God or we're going to be ruled by totalitarian tyrannyism.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we're seeing today. This
yes.
administration has violated the Constitution, transgressed the Constitution. That means when the cop stands out in front of you and tells you to stop, and you put your pedal to the metal and you drive by him, giving some vulgarity out of your mouth towards the law, that's exactly what this administration has done over 1,180 times.
Yeah.
And the American people at this point have now allotted this individual to go ahead and do at will what he will for the next 11, 12 months.
Yes.
Because the people have failed to rise up and impeach him.
Yeah.
And it doesn't start with just Barack Hussein Obama. Not one representative, mind you, not one has drawn up the articles of impeachment concerning this criminal administration. Mm-hmm. Not one. And this administration has been caught time and time again with the smoking gun in hand.
Yes.
John Calvin rightly said, he said that God will allow wicked rulers over a nation that he means to judge.
Yes.
That's where we're at today.
That's exactly where we're at today. That's a good, very good synopsis, Bradley. And I appreciate you pointing out, too, that President Obama has been enabled in his tyranny and his lawlessness by a Congress that seems indifferent to his policies and the damage that it's causing to American citizens. The most recent example of that, of course, was when John Boehner retired or resigned from his position as Speaker. And Paul Ryan took his place and promptly passed the most egregious spending bill budget that this nation has ever seen. Let's move on to what's going on currently in Oregon. And I like your thoughts on that, Bradley. I'm getting reports. Everything that I'm reading says that this was a murder. This was not an arrest that went south and a gunfight and all of this other kind of nonsense. But it was actually a murder. And I tend to believe the things that I'm reading suggest that it was a well planned out and executed murder. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I would like to premise that answer with this. Prince Al-Waleed bin Talib, he is part owner of Fox News. He said, a strong American government is not good for us. CNN's Amber Lyne, who's an award-winning journalist who worked for CNN, said that she was ordered to report fake stories, delete unfriendly stories adverse to Obama's administration, construct stories in specific manners while working for the left-wing network. She went on and said CNN is paid by foreign and the U.S. government for reporting on some events and not reporting on others. Yeah. She said the Obama administration pays for CNN's content. And then going over to Dr. Udo Ofcott, a German editor, he said the entire mainstream media is totally fake.
Yeah.
He said, taught to lie, to betray the people, not to tell the truth to the public. He said the CIA gets control over all of the majority of journalists. And then going over to William Casey back in the 80s, who was the head of the CIA, he said, we'll know that our disinformation program is complete when everything the American people believes is false.
Yeah.
Now, I'm saying that because it answers one of the things that we were talking about during the first segment.
Yeah.
And it also answers the next question. I've had several people from the radio program that are greatly concerned about what's going on in Oregon call and say, should we get out there? Should we help them? And in the process, I've been watching it. As you know, I just got back from California.
Yeah.
But there's no question in anybody's mind as to what went down. And was it murder? Absolutely, it was murder. Not only was it murder, but the federal government set forth an ambush because there was a car filled with those that were actually going to meet with the sheriff to bring forth their grievances. Now, when you read the Constitution, it says we have a right to go to the government concerning the redress of grievances.
Yeah.
We have a right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also finding out now, Mike, that in the process of going to meet a sheriff that would actually listen to their grievances, the federal government, along with the local sheriff, stopped them in the middle of the highway. And interestingly enough, the federal government just had snipers in that particular area up in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew exactly where they were going to stop them. They knew exactly what they were going to do. And the order was given by the governor of the state of Oregon. It's also interesting to note there was over 120 shots that were shot at that car and that individual that was shot in the head by the police and the federal government. And this is nothing new under the sun. We need to understand that Ruby Ridge was a situation where the federal government shot a woman holding her baby.
Yeah.
The federal government was also responsible for shooting the son of that particular situation. And it's also interesting to note that when you go back to Waco, Texas, it was the federal government that did the killing there. Mm-hmm. As they were trying to set up that whole compound, they were trying to actually set him up to do some gun running for him, and he wouldn't fall for it. So what they did is they actually kicked off the press about a mile away, and they began their killing spree. So this isn't nothing new.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen is we're going to begin to see what's going to take place in the coming days here. But I don't think it was a good move. But we also need to keep in mind that this administration has been busy like no other administration attempting to create domestic insurrection.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's no question as to what's going on out there right now. They had every right in the world to get to those authorities that would listen to their grievances. But see, Mike, the problem is nobody's talking about the fact that the Clintons are selling off the ranchers' land illegally to the Chinese.
Right.
And how come we're not talking about that right now? Because it doesn't fit the state-controlled narrative. And that's what we need to talk about. Who's committing the crimes? Who's bringing forth totalitarian methods concerning those innocent people? They were disarmed. There was women in the car. And when Vance got out of the car, he put his hands up in the air and he said, why don't you just go ahead and shoot me? Because he was at the point of no return. He had enough. But again, keep in mind, they were disarmed. And they were just going to a local sheriff that would listen to him.
Yes. And yet, the mainstream media, the state-controlled media, is reporting exactly the opposite, and they'll try to spin it that way. They'll try to keep
that. That's exactly right. And see, that's why it's so important that we're out there letting the American people know what is going on. Because, again, keep in mind, if those that serve we the people do not have a right to break the law, And people need to understand that's exactly what's going on. There's an arbitrary government. They are acting as if they are demigods. They believe that they have some sort of congressional immunity to go ahead and do what they want and when they want. And keep in mind, just so people can put this into perspective, that this isn't way out there. This is a government in this country that has sanctioned the murder of the innocent in the womb to the equivalent to 3,000 or 4,000 babies a day.
Yes.
And even when Planned Parenthood was caught selling baby parts, this administration went so far as to actually indict those that did a video expose on the crimes of Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
That is the definition of tyranny, and that is the definition of totalitarianism, my friend.
Yes. Yep. You're absolutely right, Bradley. And I, in fact, just last night at our midweek prayer meeting, we were praying, and one of the things that I brought up that we needed to pray about is this this encroaching evil and darkness that is really so pervasive. I mean, you can't turn anywhere without seeing a manifestation of it in America today. And this latest incident with the Planned Parenthood, the indictment of the videographer, is so upside down. It is the epitome of calling good evil and evil good. But it's also something else. It's evil that has become so arrogant, so caught up in its own power, virtually a power trip, thinking that it cannot be challenged and cannot be defeated. It's that kind of evil that it's risen to that level for them to do this. It's the same thing as poking us right in the eye, isn't it?
Narcissism comes to mind.
Yeah.
That is exactly right. I have a friend, Michael. His name is Kevin Shipp. He is an ex-agent for the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
He had called me up and he said, Bradley, I want you to tell everybody on your radio program that the objective of this administration is to upend American sovereignty by first attacking its Christian heritage and then its constitutional heritage.
Yes.
And I said to Kevin, thank you for the information, but I want to let you know this is the history of mankind. Mm-hmm. We are not learning from history. And what we need to do is study the past to understand how this works.
Yeah.
This is what's happening in this country, and we're going to see it come to pass sooner or later.
Yeah.
He who spits against heaven will surely fall on his own back. And America, you got one foot into judgment, and the other one's on a banana peel.
Yes.
And we're here because, again, of what the American people have encouraged this administration to do. The American people, through apathy and tolerance, are adding strength to tyranny by standing down, Michael, when they should be standing up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Well, let's move on to another topic that makes my blood boil as much as any, and that is the government and our media providing cover for really a migrant invasion under the guise of compassion toward refugees. This is really, in my view, part of the destruction and overturning of American sovereignty. And again, some of the church have been lied to and misled, and so they're looking at this the wrong way. But the Islamic invasion of Europe should tell us all that we need to know. When it hits our shores, it's not going to be any different here than it is there, is it?
Well, that's why they're trying to disarm the American people.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're seeing in France and in Germany. Yeah. I just shared with the people on the radio the other day. I said, if you think that America is going to advocate what God condemns and get away with it, why don't you go ahead and look to Germany and France right now? Because it isn't working out for them very well, is it?
Yeah.
You advocate what God condemns, you open yourself up to the enemy. You open yourself up to judgment. And if you go back to Deuteronomy 28, you can also go to Leviticus 26. It will tell you exactly, prophetically, exactly where we are at today concerning the stages of judgment.
Yeah.
But you'll notice that there's 15 blessings and there's 55 curses.
Mm-hmm.
And in the American church, they're still talking about the blessings when, in fact, they're under the judgments of God.
Yeah.
And if you notice under the judgments, foreigners are constantly used. You'll be made the tail, they'll be made the head, mm-hmm. so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And what's bothersome about what's going on here is there's nothing about the Muslims or the Islamic faith that would coincide with who we are as a society. Everything about them is antithetical. It's in direct contrast with who we are as a Christian nation.
That's right.
And the people need to understand that the Muslims, this is important, people need to understand that this, that is why this administration has been so busy demoralizing the American people, because if the American people can be demoralized, they can be controlled.
Yes.
And what's happening through the homosexual agenda, and by the way, I caught this right off the bat. Right when I began to see the homosexual agenda attack anybody that disagreed with them and their abominable lifestyles, they would inundate them, they would polarize them, they would demonize them. And I noticed what was going on, because I'm from the state of Minnesota, and we have a criminal by the name of Keith Ellison. He's a a congressman here in the state of Minnesota that actually swore in on the Koran. Now, keep in mind, they're called to kill the infidels.
Right.
But he swore in on the Koran, and after he got done swearing in concerning his service to the Muslims in Minnesota, which is a very small population, they were going up and down the halls crying out, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar.
Oh my.
And what's also interesting to note about Keith Ellison is the fact that he is the chairperson of the LGBT community in Minnesota. See, they're using the homosexuals as a political battering ram to upend way to, guess what? To attack our sovereignty, because if you remember right, John Adams said that our Constitution was made for a moral and a religious people under the Christian umbrella, the Baptists, the Catholics, the Lutherans, so on and so forth. He said it's wholly inadequate to the government of any other.
Yeah.
And if what I am not, if what I am telling you is not true, then why is it that this administration, since day one, has been entertaining America's sworn enemies at every given step, and he has been antithetical, and he has been at war with who we are? But again, America, he already told us that he wanted to fundamentally transform America. And sad to say, over the last 7 years, the American people have given way and given him a pass to do just that.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, they need to demoralize, and that's exactly what the homosexual agenda is about, so they can make way for Sharia law.
Mm.
And you better bet your bottom dollar they're trying to implement it right now. That's why they're attacking the schools. And if you look at the Muslims, they are line upon line, precept upon precept, following the path of the homosexuals. And what they need to do is they need to put themselves in the public persona. They need to be seen as the victim somehow, when in fact, if you do your homework and pull the curtain back, they don't have the shield, they have the spear.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And their strategy is working. Political correctness, which is really nothing more than cultural Marxism, has had a very dramatic and observable impact upon many Christians, and especially pastors. I say that they've pretty much just been muzzled, and they allow themselves to be silenced for fear that they'll be seen as a hate monger, or and this word is a complete invention, a homophobe, which I don't even like saying that word, because it's just an invention of the homosexual activist community to try and use as a club. But they are attempting to silence pastors, and it's working to a very large degree, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing. I would say more by consent, and I don't say that disrespectfully, Mike. I say it through experience. If you go back to find actually who created that whole browbeating dissenters anyways, it's a communist tactic.
Yes,
it was actually Trotsky under Stalin's regime that said the way to basically take over your enemies is to browbeat them.
Yeah.
And it is for the church to know that Christ said, listen, this is my commandment, that you'll love one another. But if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you.
Yeah.
They crucified our Lord. They mocked our Lord.
Yeah.
They put spikes in our Lord's hands and in our feet. They humiliated him. And what comes to my aid right now, Mike, is the fact that these churches and these pastors can look for whatever excuse that they would want to attempt to justify themselves for not saying what needs to be said.
Yeah.
It's not working. But it reminds me of Jesus when he was going up to the cross. And he said to the women that were crying, he said, don't cry for me, cry for you and your children, because if they'll do this in a green tree, what will they do in a dry tree?
Yeah.
America still today has the freedom to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And if that's all the world's going to do is call us names and beat us up and spit on us, We should be honored. We should rejoice the way that the disciples did.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, it's not a lot of fun going through it.
No.
I've been written up by the New York Times. I've been lied to by MSNBC. We had to go back after Rachel Maddow for attempting to put words in my mouth. CNN, Weekly Standard, you name it. Thousands of outlets across the country have browbeaten me.
Yeah.
But you know, the fact of the matter is, not one of them told the truth. Yeah. I know it, and my father knows it.
Yeah.
And again, as I said earlier, if we want to understand the power of God, then we better bear the same cross. Because it's one thing to say that we love the Lord, but it's another thing to act out your love for him. And it's not fun, but I'll tell you what, when you stay the course, you don't bow and you don't burn. And who said that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we as a church need to do so our Father can be glorified through our obedience.
Yes.
What may come, let it come. With God on our side, we're always in the majority, said John Knox. And I want to encourage you too, my friend. And I want to encourage the listeners, if I might.
Yeah.
It reminds me of John Knox, who was a Scottish reformer back in Scotland. Mary, Queen of Scots, was so afraid of him. She was a tyrant.
Yes.
She was a Jezebel. She wanted to rule through force and totalitarian methods. He continually stood up to her. And what happened is it was written that Mary, Queen of Scots, said of John Knox, "I fear his prayers more than all the armies of Europe." When is the church going to come back to the place to understand that our Father, when he said, "Touch not mine anointed," he meant just that, "Touch not mine anointed." Because when I look in the Word of God, when the world wants to go down that road, it's a road they wish they would have never taken.
Yeah.
And that's what the church needs to do today. Again, come hell or high water, I'm standing, and by the grace of God, I'm not moving, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, that'll preach on a Sunday morning, Bradley.
Amen.
Well, here's a $64,000 question. Can we reverse the damage that's been done to America?
This is what I feel like. God is willing to give the church what it's willing to fight for, but we have to stand up and fight. John Quincy Adams, son of John Adams, said, "Do all that you can do and leave the results up to God."
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that God's sitting up on the throne and he's going to do whatever he's going to do and we do absolutely nothing. No. My love, if I'm born by the Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost he's been given unto me.
Yeah.
How can I look at Calvary and not respond?
Yes.
I don't deserve that.
Yeah.
But he did it anyways.
Yeah.
And in responding to the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, "Greater works will you do than I did." Mike, think about this.
Yeah.
The Lord said, "Open your mouth and I'll fill it."
Yeah.
He said, "Open it wide."
Yeah.
He said, "Ask and you shall receive." He said, "Command this of me," Isaiah 45. And then he goes on and he says, "Those whose hearts are perfect towards me, they'll do great exploits. Lord, thank you for perfecting that which concerneth me."
Yeah.
Thank you for creating me a clean heart and renewing that right spirit within me. Titus 1:16, where you regenerate me and renew me. It's a work of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But look at the promises that have been given unto me. "Call unto me, and I will answer, and I will show you great and mighty things in which you know not." I mean, we need to think about that. And then Jesus said again, "Greater works will you do than I did." Now, just if you take that in parallel to what he said in the book of John, he said that had all the books contained the miracles of Jesus, they can't contain them.
Yes.
He told us that.
That's right.
If all the books in the world were written, they couldn't contain the miracles that Jesus performed. But then he looks at his church and says, "But you'll do more." But you'll do more.
Yeah.
It's a perfect opportunity for us to prove the God of Israel. And I got to tell you something, and I'm just being about as transparent as I can be right now. This is my end aim.
Yeah.
I want to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I particularly want to know the God of Moses. And if I want to know the God of Moses, then I better do what Moses did.
Yeah.
And if I want to know the God of David, then I better do what David did.
Mm-hmm.
And I better learn from David what not to do.
Yes.
And the bottom line is it really comes to this. He's faithful unto 1,000 generations. He said in Hebrews 13:8 that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't change. We changed. Because what we want is we want God to meet us on our terms rather than us meeting him at the cross.
Yes.
And then he said in Malachi 3:16, "I am the Lord thy God, I change not. I am holding that to the Lord every day of my life, every minute of my life. I'm saying, Lord, this is what you said. I only have a limited time. And by the way, speaking of limit, Lord, you told us that we're not supposed to limit the Holy One of Israel. Yeah. And if I was to look around at all the fruit that the Lord has borne in my life, I still say, I haven't done anything. Mm. People might come in and say, look at all of that, what you've done. Yeah, but you know what? Great. It's not where I want to be. It's not what I want. And if I'm aligned with the Lord, what is his heart? To seek and save that which is lost. Lord, give unto me the heathen as thine inheritance in the uttermost parts of the earth. And by the way, that's not an evangelist's job alone. That's not an apostle's job alone, yeah. Or a prophet, or a teacher, or a pastor's. It's all of our jobs together. Yeah. And when we begin to work together as the church of Jesus Christ, doing the things that Christ did as we follow him, he promises us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And you know what, Mike? Experience tells me over the last 20 years, he's exactly right on the money. He has never one time failed, this young man, never one time.
Yes, amen. And that's a key point, Bradley, and I want to encourage our listeners. I know there are some pastors that listen to the show, and so this is particularly important for you to receive. And I pray that the Holy Spirit has really pricked your conscience and your spirit and has opened your eyes and really given you an emboldened spirit to not only take a stand yourself, but to lead others to do that as well in your own congregations. You've really given an encouraging word for what churches can do. And now let me speak to folks, perhaps you're not a pastor. Encourage your pastor to begin to speak the truth. If he isn't, if this is a shocking conversation for you, listener, you've never heard two born-again, spirit-filled believers talk like this, as frankly, and one of them a pastor, and Bradley, I think you're an ordained minister as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm ordained, but you know, the thing is I want people to be clear that God ordains men.
Yes.
But I have man's ordainment as well.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's one of the things I appreciate about Calvary Chapel, is are you a spirit-filled man who has a calling on your life to preach the gospel? And do you love people? And if so, then you are a candidate, my friend. So to you, listeners, if your pastor is not teaching the truth, and listen, all of these things that we've talked about, you can teach these in context right out of the Scripture. Bradley gave dozens of Scripture references to back up everything that he said. And so I encourage you to encourage your pastor. Be praying for your pastor, that he'll get a holy boldness, and he won't be content just to go along to get along, as the saying goes, but that he'll stand up and actually be counted among the holy servants of God who is not afraid to speak the truth. Bradley, one other question that I'd really like to chat about. And it's because it's the election cycle, and so we've got all these folks that are running for office, and I'm not going to ask you who if anyone you might be supporting. That's mm-hmm. not the question, but it is this: what role does the Christian play in the political landscape in America? What role should the Christian play in the political landscape?
Thank you for asking, my friend. Interestingly enough, I was in the Capitol in the state of Minnesota some time back, and not just in Minnesota, but in every state. It's interesting how they have a picture of Moses behind the Supreme Court justices in their chairs at the Capitol of the state of Minnesota, awaiting the divine law. Mm-hmm. Who gave the law?
Yeah.
God gave the law.
Yeah.
Exodus 18:21.
Yeah.
So God gave government, but yet the professed church in America is derelict of duty when it comes to government. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
John Adams, the second president of the United States, said the church is called to be moral compass of society. When that goes, all goes. Yes. You know what? It's also interesting to note that those people that represent we the people in this country, they put their hand in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's also interesting to note that when you go to the Liberty Bell, you'll find inscripted is Leviticus 25:10 on the Liberty Bell. You'll notice my father's name is on your money. If you go to the Arlington Cemetery or to any veteran memorial throughout the United States of America, you'll notice the Christian crosses over their heads.
Yes.
You also notice that when you go to the Supreme Court chambers, since 1777, it's been a preacher in cycle that has started and adjourned every given court case. It's also interesting to note that when you go to all the state preambles, all 50 states, it starts out acknowledging who? God Almighty.
Yes.
Why wouldn't the church be involved in what God gave them?
Yes.
That's what makes us the light of the world.
Amen.
Matter of fact, when you go over to the Statue of Liberty, what do you see there? You see in her left hand, you see the Declaration of Independence. And when you read the Declaration of Independence, guess what you see? It says the laws of nature, nature's God.
Yes.
It talks about how we receive our unalienable rights given unto us by our Creator.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to note how our forefathers, 56 of the signers, they were of a Christian denomination.
Yes.
And even to say that, well, there was one that was a deist, there's no evidence to prove any of this.
Yeah.
And the least religious signer that we had was Thomas Paine, who was actually over in France rebuking scientists who were attempting to take just praise that belonged to God unto themselves.
Yes.
So when I look at the history of who we are, I don't know how one is outside of the other because they're twin sisters. These two sciences run together,
yes,
said our forefathers.
Yes.
And we can look at George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. Interestingly enough, going back to the Declaration of Independence, our forefathers sought the supreme judge of the world as they also sought divine protection.
Yeah.
And when you go to the Constitution of the United States of America, guess what it ends with? The year of our Lord, 1787. And if you want to take a step back to that which preceded the Declaration of Independence, why don't you take the time to read the Mayflower Compact, which does nothing but smacks of the pulpit?
Yes.
We are a Christian nation.
Amen.
There's no getting away from it. It's Christians in this country that are under attack today.
Yeah.
It's nobody else. It's not the Muslims. It's not the homosexuals. It's no other individual. And the reason is because the church has capitulated when they should stand up and fight the good fight of faith, proving the God of Israel to reestablish what we have today. And I say this, if you're sick and tired, church, of man's 10,000 commandments the way that we are, then just simply get back to God's 10 commandments.
Amen.
Because true liberty is found in the fulfilling of the law in which Christ fulfilled.
Amen.
So there's no way out or no outside fact that we can go ahead and remain a free nation without being involved with what God has bestowed upon us. We have a responsibility, and this government is a reflection of who we are. And if we want a Christian nation again, we better get involved.
That's right. Yep. Amen. Couldn't have said it better, Bradley. Your website is the Sons of Liberty Media, and is that the sonsofliberty.org?
Yeah, I understand that you're a contributor over there, Michael, and
I am.
We welcome that.
Right.
Michael's a contributor over at sonsoflibertymedia.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com, and we also have sonsoflibertyradio.com. Those two pages interact one with another.
And your station listing is on your site where folks can tune in to your radio program. And when are you on? And that's Central Time, right?
Yep, it's 2 to 3 Central Standard Time. And then on, that's Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 Central Standard Time. And then on Saturdays, we're on from 2 to 4 Central Standard Time. And I wanted to let you know, too, Mike, that they're actually broadcasting the My War series, that which we have done in high schools over the last 14 years. And interestingly enough, Dove Television picked it up, and they've been playing it on national television every Tuesday at 8:30 at night. Now, their time zone, I don't know exactly what it is,
mm-hmm.
but if you'd like to see us in action, if you'd like to see us get kicked out of schools
mm-hmm.
for doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
go ahead and check it out. And, Mike, I got to tell you, I really appreciate the time that we've had here.
Well, Bradley, it's been my honor and privilege to chat with you, and we'll talk offline after this. I want some information on that. As you know, we have a FM radio station that's an outreach ministry of the church, and some of that content, especially My War, I think that would be great content for our radio station. So anyway, Bradley, thank you so much for the insights and especially for your passion for our Lord. I am so very blessed by that as well. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, sir.
God bless.
God bless you.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek him.